Hi, everybody. Tamarack here, and this is the Diamond Path. This week, we're going to talk about something I mentioned last week, and that's the potential creation of a cabinet-level Department of Peace in the United States. It was introduced in the House first in 2001 by Dennis Kucinich of Ohio, and then he reintroduced it in 2003, and then finally in September 2005, he reintroduced it, as did Senator Mark Dayton of Minnesota. So we now have a bill in the House, number 3760, and a bill in the Senate, number 1756, that proposes to create a department-level Department of Peace, cabinet-level Department of Peace. So before we get into a discussion of what the Department of Peace would entail, let me give you a little history of the Department of Peace or the attempt to create it. Now, I just heard about this, 6 months ago, and only now really getting involved. And it was a new idea to me. Wow, great idea. Why didn't I think of it before? Well, they did. In 1792, Benjamin Banneker, noted African-American scientist, surveyor, and editor, and Benjamin Rush, a doctor, educator, and signer of the Declaration of Independence, suggested the blueprint for an Office of Peace. And that was the first time it was really mentioned. Wasn't really brought up again till around 1935 when someone attempted it, and they did it again in 37. I think the same person did it again in 39. And then in 1943, Senator Alexander Wiley of Wisconsin spoke on the Senate floor calling for the United States of America to be the first government on the world to have a Secretary of Peace. It didn't happen. They tried again in 45 and 47. Still nothing. And then between 1955 and 1968, let's see, that's 13 years, there were no fewer than 85 bills calling for a Department of Peace. It was introduced either to the House or to the Senate. So why is it different this time? Well, the climate is right. We're in the middle of a war that most people don't like. And it's time. And it looks like this particular attempt is really starting to move. We have never seen grassroots movement going on in the United States for the creation of this department like we have now. So, let's talk about the Department of Peace. What would a Department of Peace be? Is it just another arm of government that's going to cost X billions of dollars? Yeah, it's another arm of government that's going to cost X billions of dollars. Roughly $8.5 billion, I think, is what they figure. Where's this money coming from? Well, $8.5 billion only represents about 2% of the defense budget. So if we're making peace and making less war, somehow I think the math will work out. So the Department of Peace, first of all, there'd be a Secretary of Peace. Ah, what a concept, huh? What a name. I would love to be called the Secretary of Peace. And he would report directly to the president. We're talking cabinet level here. As Rumsfeld talks in the Oval Office about what to do in case of conflict, there'll be the Secretary of Peace who will be sitting there talking about what to do in case of conflict. So let's define a little bit about what the bill is talking about. There's two major areas and a third that probably isn't considered a major area, but I find it one of the most exciting. But let's start with the international. What would the Department of Peace do internationally? Well, obviously, a lot would have to do with conflict resolutions between potentially warring parties. How would this be different? I mean, we send in diplomats. We're talking before we start drawing our guns. Well, the new Department of Peace would have a cadre of peace workers. There's no other word for them. They've been taught in a culture of peace. Their job, then, that's their primary job. Let's resolve this. If you get a diplomat, they go in with a certain number of cards to play, and that after you get a few cards played, you throw down the deck and walk out. The Department of Peace would be much less inclined to do that, because peace is the goal. And peace is what they will do, and peace, hopefully, will happen much greater if you've got people there who know what they're doing and who are determined to make this outcome peaceful. So if there were something happening in any number of places, I don't want to start naming places. Let's say there's something happened in the Congo or something. Instead of sending in troops that would just simply police the situation, there would be teams of peace workers going in there, probably with troops to protect the peacemakers, and they would try to ameliorate the system, ameliorate the situation by intervening on a much closer to the people level. So you'd get peace workers instead of diplomats. Another aspect of this would be teaching the soldiers themselves who go into war. What if you were a 20-year-old soldier with a rifle in your hand and you're standing in a square in Baghdad and a bunch of kids, or maybe not even kids, start throwing rocks and cans and stuff at you? Now, an untrained person would certainly think first of their lives and react, and the chance for him shooting someone when the threat perhaps wasn't lethal to him is something that the educational process from the Department of Peace would be instilled in the teachings in the Defense Department, teachings to the soldiers. There would be courses they would take on how to resolve these situations without lethal force. So in other words, this whole culture of peace, it could even be used in a soldier situation, in a someone with a rifle in his hand. If anyone should know what peace is or how to deal with it, give it to the guy with a rifle. Every cop must go through some sensitivity training, but part of the domestic bill would make sure that police departments in the United States went through peaceful conflict resolution training. But I get ahead of myself. So in general, the whole Department of Peace would be the first people in to a situation internationally. They would be the ones to assess the situation and try to start working it out. They would be the ones to advise the president of steps that can be taken before we send in the tanks. So that's one whole area, the international area of the Department of Peace, which when I first heard about it, I thought, well, this is what they're going to do. This is great, but this is what they're going to do. Well, at least half the budget is for domestic. In fact, I would just by looking at what they plan on doing, I'd say more than half the budget is on domestic affairs. And on domestic affairs, as a general idea, we would be taking in from other departments of other departments in the government and put them under the umbrella of the Department of Peace. Anything that had to do with non-peaceful situations. So elder and child and spousal abuse. I mean, those are all crimes. We look at it as a crime, but it's coming out of this culture of violence that it's okay to slam someone around if I'm angry and then apologize later. So the whole abuse area would fold into the Department of Peace and be regulated by people trained in this sort of stuff. Inner city violence and gangs, that would be incorporated under the umbrella of the Department of Peace. Once again, through the schools, through educational processes from the Department of Peace and down through the system, and then people who hit the streets running, who are there to deal with this sort of stuff. I mean, I know there's an awful lot of people dealing with, abuse problems and stuff who their hearts are out there and they're doing everything they absolutely can. But so often there's so much legal work going on that the people get lost in this legal thing. We have a person here who did something wrong. He's a criminal. It's all about punishment. The Department of Peace would be working from the inside and working then from the outside, working from the inside of the person, inside of the people involved through their educational processes. But then when it comes to an actual case, there would be more attention paid to the participants and how things like that can be resolved instead of just throwing them in the slammer, that sort of stuff. Gun legislation, however you may feel, up or down, guns and the people who use them still create a lot of havoc in this world. Some of it, I'm not going to get into the gun conversation now. But just to look at guns, to look at what people in guns do, is another whole area that the Department of Peace will take on. And they will treat this with a much more peaceful understanding of how to deal with guns and violence on the level of people right in the streets. Hate crimes. Hate crimes is another area. I forget what department it's under now, but it would move over to the Department of Peace. And there you're talking about educating. The Department of Peace, you know, there's departments in the, there's parts of government that are always sending, the Food and Drug Administration, for example, always sending recommendations down through the system, down through schools, and telling us what we should eat and what we shouldn't eat, what's good for us, the drug aspects of government. Well, here would be an aspect of government which would start to infuse the programs in the schools about how to deal with the bully, with bringing guns to school. All of those things in a school, first of all, would be dealt with by education coming down from this new governmental office. And then as we unfortunately run into a few instances where, you know, something really bad has happened, we take this individual, and just like I was mentioning earlier when we were talking about abuse and criminal versus, you know, punishment as opposed to helping the abuser, there would be these systems set up and trained counselors in the system to start stepping in, not only with education, but to help the kids that are they're leaning this way, to be more attentive about what bullying means. It's getting a lot of play lately, bullying. God, in school, that was my defining history, as being bullied. If I didn't have to go through that, who knows when I would have snapped out of it. So it's a very bad problem in school, and it's coming from other people who are not recognizing the inherent rights of others. And this is just an education thing. Most of these kids grow up and they realize, yeah, I was a jerk back then. Well, why were you a jerk back then? Wasn't there no one in school telling you how not to be a jerk, how to treat each other with respect? I mean, we teach reading and writing and arithmetic and all that sort of stuff, but how often do we teach about actually interrelating or relating with other people in a non-competitive, cooperative way? Everything's about competition. Let's start teaching cooperation. So in the domestic aspect, we've got areas of concern, but all are informed with this concept that I want to keep putting out there, is this culture of peace. It's a great phrase. We're living in a culture of violence. We know that. The video games, the movies, the television, the books. The culture of peace would hope to establish a new paradigm, where we start thinking in those terms and we start educating in those terms and teaching and understanding. So the whole school system, which of course are the youth that will start running the world in the not too distant future, will have grown up with this culture of peace in the classroom. You know, it starts there. So if we have this going early and we bring it into real life, it's got to help. It's got to help, folks. Now, if we actually create this culture of peace by creating a Department of Peace, we'll need trained people. Where's all this peace talk and culture of peace and conflict resolution going to come from? Well, this is one of the more exciting aspects of this bill, and I must say I'm rather turned on by it. The Department of Defense has West Point and Annapolis. The Department of Peace would have a University of Peace set up somewhere in the United States, a fully funded, accredited university where counselors, teachers, military people, politicians, in other words, you get a degree in peace. What an idea, huh? Imagine. This whole university, as you know, West Point teaches, you know, I'm sure they teach a lot about that, conflict resolution and that sort of stuff. Never been to West Point myself. But the impetus is to be able to create a good war if you need to. And of course, that's what we want. If you need a war, you need people who know how to do it. But if you want peace, you also need people who know how to do it. So the University of Peace would be the first university set up, and I wouldn't be surprised if others sprung up later, but it would be this nationwide University of Peace. So if someone wanted to go to the Peace Corps, they may take a few courses, they may get a degree at the University of Peace and go out and do a much better job in another culture. The University of Peace, P people, the graduates, would go on to run government. They would go on to careers in the military with an understanding of how to avoid what he's there to do if he needs to. So I find that a very, very exciting aspect of the bill. Now, I hope I've gotten you interested enough to think maybe you'd like to see this happen in the United States. Outside of a few arguments about money, like, yeah, we can't afford to take 2% of the defense budget right now to try this. I'm not sure we can afford not to. So I'm excited about it. You may or may not be excited about it. If you want to get involved, here's the way to do it. So how is this Peace Department going to come? It's going to come like a cloud, a mist rising from the land itself. It's not going to be just a Mark Dayton or a Dennis Kucinich yelling up on the floor about why we need this. It's got to come from the people. Every good movement comes from the people, and then the leaders follow. So there's a national group called the Peace Alliance. It's pretty loosely structured. They have information, contacts, and all that sort of stuff, but there's really no budget. This is an all-voluntary thing. This is the people working because they want to see this. So the Peace Alliance has a network throughout the United States, and they're all set up. They are set up by individual cells in different communities all across the United States working for this. And they all work locally. So I took it upon myself a couple weeks ago to decide to get involved. One of my Buddhist obligations, certainly as a Buddhist, but most especially as a priest, this working for others. There's a lot of areas we could choose. Someone could choose to work in hospice. Someone could choose to help orphans in a country that, at war. My direction is going to be the youth and creating this Department of Peace. So I've decided, knowing that after contacting statewide people in Massachusetts and finding out that there is no one out here in the first district, which I said last week is this huge district geographically. It's actually one-third of the state, over 3,000 miles, but they only have a little over 600,000 people. So that's one district, the oft-forgotten western end of this state. So I'm setting up a committee, and the committee then will decide how to make this idea of getting the Department of Peace in everybody's mind. In other words, it's the usual awareness and motivation. So this committee, one of the things we'll do is to try to find people in other communities in this district. There's no way we're tromping around all over here, but Greenfield, Northampton, Adams, Pittsfield. It'll be our job to see if we can find a friend maybe in that neighboring town who knows a couple other friends that might start a committee that then might start getting something done locally. So what are some of the things that we'll be doing? Well, we're actually going to be meeting with the state coordinators. I'm sure there's a lot of things I hadn't even thought about. But raising awareness, it's the same thing in just about anything you want to do. You have to be out there. You have to get it out there. So locally, you're going to be seeing ads, probably in the Shopper's Guide. There's going to be articles in the paper, stuff on television. Hopefully, some of us will be going into a few schools to give a talk, because there's a subgroup to the Peace Alliance called the Student Peace Alliance, which is a groups of students in colleges and high schools that are doing some of the same things that our committee will be doing. Now, there's only 20 Student Peace Alliance chapters in the United States right now, but for your edification, there are 4 in Massachusetts, 2 high schools and 2 colleges. In fact, I believe the nationwide coordinator for this is in Brandeis University out east in our state, and Brandeis was the first school anywhere that had a chapter. But the chapters outside the schools are growing and proliferating quite a bit. And what kind of support have we gotten in Congress so far? Though there's been 75 senators and or congressmen that have signed on. Now, I'm expecting a better turnout after the next election, because if you look at the numbers, they're a little sobering. Of the 75 people that have signed on to this bill, and John Oliver, the District 1 representative right here, signed on right after Kucinich, the second time Kucinich introduced it in 2003. He was about the first person to sign on with him. So we're living here in this western Massachusetts with some people who are ready to go ahead with this. But of the 75 legislators that have signed on to this, 74 are Democrats and one is an independent. And all I could think of, except for maybe just, no, it's about all I can think of. Why would Republicans not be doing this right now? And thinking as a Republican, I'm thinking money. And I'm hoping that that's not the only thing that's keeping this thing happening, because I said there's money out there. If we divert a little bit of the defense budget, we could fund this whole process and get it started. Now, if you'd like to get involved at all with this with the Peace Alliance, if you're local, if you're listening to this on the radio and not a podcast in out west somewhere or something, California, you can call me. Please call me. I'm trying to set up a committee. I have about four people now, a couple other people in mind who haven't answered me yet. And, you know, I don't want the committee to be huge because then you get into Robert's Rules of Order and all that, and I really want it to be more of a living room thing. But it'll be probably about 10, a dozen people in this committee, and then we will be finding volunteers to work with us to do things like getting a write or call-in campaign to our own legislators. And that's even if they've signed on. Like if Oliver knows that more and more people from Berkshire County and Franklin County and Hamilton County are all wanting him to push this, then that's what we're there for. That's what he's there for. Kennedy and Kerry have not signed on. I believe as of this date they have not signed on. I think they've been too distracted with other things they've been doing. They're certainly both behind us. But we need to start sending letters and telephone calls to the two of them. There'll be the campaign, as I said, just to raise awareness like this radio show is doing. I'm sure many of you out there never even heard about this. So we need to just kind of be in the media to get out there, to let people know that this is a real possibility and it's something that can actually change things. So if you want to get involved locally, please call me, 413-229-3263. If you want to be a committee member, wonderful. If you just don't know how you could help but would like to, I'd love to take your name. When we figure out exactly how you could help, we'll let you know. If you're not in this area, consider starting at least a discussion group, and you don't know where these things will go. You can go to the Peace Alliance, which is peacealliance.org. Great site, very extensive. There's even a great 15-minute DVD you can get of Dennis Kucinich and Walter Cronkite talking about the necessity of setting up this Department of Peace. And of course, if you're old enough, you know that Walter can do no wrong. He used to be the voice of America, and everybody trusted Walter, and I still do. He's a very sharp, wonderful man. So there's a lot of people behind this idea, but we need more people out there like you who maybe would like to get involved. Not sure how. Peace is a good idea. I'd like to see peace. Go to the internet site. Request maybe just the name of your local, if there's anyone local, the same somebody in your state. There's probably someone in every state by now. And just email them or write them or call them and just say, I'm kind of interested. Just give me some information. I could send you information. I have a few things that they have sent me. I meant to bring one. I realized I forgot about it. So first you have to inform yourself, is this something I really want? I think it's a fairly simple answer. If you feel motivated, then set up a little group in your area. Talk to a few friends. Start thinking about just emailing your friends, calling your friends. I know we get these emails all the time, sign up for this, sign up for that. There's a lot of stuff out there that's trying to get our attention, and much of it good. I mean, I get moveon.org stuff every single day, and if I kept on top of everything they asked me to do, I wouldn't have time to work. So we have to pick and choose our areas of focus. I'm not going to say battles. It's a term I want to drop. So we have to pick our areas of focus. For me, it's peace. For you, it may be something else. But if peace might be something that you could see working for, and it's not something that is valid as it is if you do a peace walk or attend a service like last Sunday, or a couple Sundays ago at this point, Shomyo for Peace concert, where the service and the Shomyo, the chants, were all for peace. These are good things. They instill peace in ourselves. They make us feel better about the possibility of peace, and you share it with others. But the Department of Peace is more than that, in that it's a concrete step we can take. I mean, we've talked here about intentions and sending them out in the universe and all that, and absolutely valid. But this is something that we can start seeing tangible results for. As I said, locally you're going to start to see more and more of it just showing up in the media, so it's going to be out there. And the more people that start recognizing that this is happening, more people are going to get involved. And as a secondary thing, just something that I'm discovering the more I get involved, folks, it's fun. You get to meet other people. You get to hone your organizational skills. The feeling you get for working for something like this, right through the failures and everything. I haven't had any fail. Well, a couple little failures. But they're just steps. And it feels so good to take these steps, to do something. So if you'd like to get involved, give me a call or check out peacealliance.org. And if you manage to start something in another state or another area of this county or something, please check in with me. You can do it at that phone number I gave you, or you can send it to my email, primrosecottage@adelphia.net. I would just love to hear if you're doing anything, where you're doing anything, and if there's any way we can help. And if you talk to any number of the people through the National Peace Alliance, they can give you reams of information and people in your area that you can talk to. So anyway, folks, the Peace Alliance, the Department of Peace, give it a thought. If you find a place in your heart for it, give it some work and let me know. So I'm Sancho Tamarack Garlow. Sancho is my Dharma name. I lead Higashi Tendai Sangha in Great Barrington. You can get older episodes of our talks on the net at diamondpath.blogspot.com. And this production, weekly production, is a combination of Higashi Tendai Buddhist Sangha and the Housatonic Radio Works. Andy Potter, sole proprietor and heck of an engineer. So until next week, folks, think about this Peace Alliance thing. Think about peace in your heart. And then do a little work. See you next week.